Let's continue reading verses 12 through 14 of Romans 6. Now, in these three verses, we have further exhortation concerning our sanctification. We are not to yield our bodies to sin, but rather yield our bodies as instruments of righteousness to God. Romans 6, 12 through 14. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Once again, some background notes. The subject of Romans chapters 5 through 8 is the great privileges of the justified believer. Romans chapters 1 through 4 clearly presents God's way of salvation. The whole world is guilty before God, but God has provided salvation as a gift. Jesus died for the sins of the world, and we can have this gift of salvation by faith. That's all you have to do. Just believe in Christ by faith. This is what it means to be justified by faith. God declares you righteous when you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now notice the way Romans chapter 5 begins. Therefore, having been justified by faith. Notice, not you will be justified when you become a good Christian, or you will be justified when you die and go to heaven. No, you have been justified. That's where you start as a believer, declared righteous. And now follows the great privileges of the justified believer in chapters 5 through 8. In chapter 5, we've seen some of the great blessings and benefits that are ours in God's package of salvation, which is given to us. We not only have forgiveness of sins and a ticket to heaven, we have many other blessings and benefits as well, including assurance of salvation. Did you ever doubt your salvation? If you really have trusted Christ as your Savior, you have eternal security. You can't lose what God has given you. Look back at Romans 5, verses 9 and 10 once again. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. I mean, how much more assurance do you want? Your justification didn't depend on you, and neither does your eternal security. Now in chapter 6, you see, we learn that believers not only have freedom from the penalty of sin, but from the power of sin as well. Because of our union with Christ, that's our spiritual position before God, we are free from the power of sin. And here in verses 12 through 14 of Romans 6, we see what we must therefore do in practice. That brings us then to our doctrinal or teaching points for these three verses. Doctrinal point number one, as to practice, a believer should not yield to sin. As to practice, a believer should not yield to sin. Verses 12 and 13. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. You know what the word sanctification means? Sanctification means to be made holy. The process of sanctification is going on all the time in the believer's life. Philippians 1:6 says, He, that is God, who has begun a good work in you, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6. Now, what's our part in sanctification? Remember, sanctification now is only for Christians. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you must first be justified before you can be sanctified. Follow that? You must come to Christ, receive Him as Savior, and be justified, declare righteous. Then the process of sanctification begins. Now, how does the process of sanctification work as to our part? What do we do? Well, we've already seen that we must first realize our spiritual position in Christ and reckon it to be true, right? Remember, God sees us in Christ. That's our spiritual position. Having died to sin and made alive to live for God. Let's look back once again at Romans 6, verses 8 through 11. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So that's our first and foremost responsibility in the process of sanctification. We must practice R&R. We must realize and reckon our position or standing in Christ. But now we see from verses 12 and 13 here in Romans 6 that we must not yield to sin. Verse 12 again, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. Reign is the key word here. Follow it? Reign is the key word here. It doesn't say a Christian will not sin. We do sin. We still have a sinful nature until we get our resurrected bodies. In fact, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8 says that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But we are not to let sin reign in our mortal bodies. Now, how do we keep sin from reigning? Well, we not only realize and reckon our position in Christ, but we also don't present, verse 13 now, we don't present our members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. You say that's impossible. No, it's not impossible. It's impossible to keep sinful thoughts from flitting through your head from time to time. But you can stop yourself from dwelling on these thoughts. And you can stop your eyes from reading material or looking at things that excite sinful thoughts and actions. And you can stop your feet and your hands from getting involved in sinful activities. And verse 14 says, you can do it. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Before you become a Christian, you can't do it because you are under the dominion and power of sin. It works like a law in you. But now we are in Christ and under grace. We have new life empowered by the Holy Spirit. You don't have to sin. You will sin. But you don't have to commit any sin. You are able not to sin. Christians are not sinless, but they should sin less. As to practice, a believer should not yield to sin. Doctrinal point number two. In practice, a believer should yield to righteousness. In practice, a believer should yield to righteousness. Verse 13, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Notice it is not just present yourselves to God as if you were alive from the dead. You are alive from the dead. But present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. In other words, there's more than just our spiritual position here. We really do have new life. And in the power of that life, we are to yield our members as instruments of righteousness to God. Let me share an illustration of how this works in my own life. I tend to be a structured person. That's the way I come at life. Are you a structured person or are you one of these people that just you let life come at you? You know, I like to come at life. I'm a structured person. If I depart from my structure, I don't function well. Ask Margie. She'll tell you. In any case, for two nights of the week, I am in my office all evening for 7 hours straight. It's my normal week, all right? Well, I guess when you take into account my office at home, several nights of the week, I'm at my desk most nights of the week, I guess I'm at my desk, but at least several nights of the week I'm at my desk. Solid study of the scriptures, reading commentaries, preparing sermons, writing devotionals, etc., etc. Well, now, not a lot of sin takes place in my life during these hours. How come? You see the illustration? Because I'm not yielding the members of my body, whether it be my eyes or mind, as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. In fact, I am yielding my members as instruments of righteousness to God. And there's a desire to do so because of the new life that I have in Christ. There's a desire to do so and a joy in doing so and the ability to do so because the power of sin is broken for the Christian. It does not have dominion over us. We are free from the law of sin and death. We are free to serve the Lord. If you're not a Christian, you do not have that freedom. The law of sin is unbroken. It works in you. You do not have joy in serving the Lord. You've got to become a Christian. But once you become a Christian, it's there. There really is the power of sin broken. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the principle of law, but under grace. As to practice, a believer should yield to righteousness. And finally, let's take one practical application from these three verses. Let's make Good Friday and Easter Sunday personal. Let's make Good Friday and Easter Sunday personal. On Good Friday, we remember the death of Christ. On Easter Sunday, we remember the resurrection of Christ. These are foundational truths of the Christian faith. But we must do more than just acknowledge these truths as the basis of the Christian faith. We must make them personal. Well, now, how do we do that? Well, if you're here this morning and you're still not a Christian, you must believe that when Jesus died, he died for your sins. All right? That's making Good Friday personal. And when he arose for your justification. That's making Easter Sunday personal. And when you make Good Friday and Easter Sunday personal in that way and trust in Christ as your personal Savior, you're saved. You're a true Christian. If you're here this morning as a Christian, you too need to make Good Friday and Easter Sunday more personal. All of us. How? Practice the truth of Romans chapter 6. We must realize and reckon our position in Christ. God sees us as identified with Christ in his death and burial and resurrection. We are risen with Christ. And now have new spiritual life in Christ. Now let's yield the members of our bodies as instruments of righteousness to God. And let's not yield the members of our body as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. Let's not let sin reign in our mortal bodies. Let's make Good Friday and Easter Sunday personal.